And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAA Hour. This is the Hurling Show. Michael Carton is here. JJ Delaney is still on holidays. I'm not sure whereabouts he was. I think he's in Abu Dhabi, stuck in the airport when he texted me yesterday. Brendan Bugler is making his GAA Hour debut today. Brendan, how's it going?
Good, Willie, yeah. All great.
Good. Now, come here. The reason it's actually interesting you're on the show this time or today, because Paddy O'Rourke had a piece for AIB. I think your piece was for AIB as well. They seem to be getting all the ex-players given out about commitment levels. But he was on a similar level to your similar kind of team to your one, Brendan, and he was talking about the commitment levels having gone through the roof, and he's happy now to give a few years to his club. And it always seems to be players that are finished with the intercounty game that say these things rather than players that are involved. And I have my own reason for that. It's obviously because you'll be gone if you say, you know, you don't want to rock the boat in case management will hold it against you. So do you think maybe this thing is going to become a little bit more common, where players are finished with the intercounty season and say that was too much?
Yeah, look at Paddy was entitled to his opinion, and I suppose I was entitled to my opinion as well. Now, I wouldn't necessarily agree with a lot of what Paddy was saying. Like, Paddy was kind of making the point that just because you mightn't be, you know, with a team that has a realistic chance of winning something, then what's the point? You know, I totally disagree with that, you know. And I think some people misinterpreted my point as well when I made it a couple of weeks ago. You know, there's a great element of pride associated with playing with your county and representing the people of your county. And, you know, every county has different goals and different targets that they set at the start of the year, and not every county is going to set a target of winning in Ireland, because realistically it's not possible, you know. But does that necessarily, you're not going to you bother at all? I don't think it should, you know. It's I totally didn't agree with him with that when he was talking about the weaker counties. It's all about, you know, your own goals and your own targets that you set yourself. And I look at us, my own club in Whitehead, okay, we'd be, I suppose, deemed as one of the weaker senior teams, right, in the county. But does that mean that we're going to throw in the towel and we're not going to do our very, very best to compete? You know, it doesn't. You know, realistically, I don't know if we're going to win a county senior championship or not, but our goal that we'd set at the start of the year would be to get to a quarter final and maybe win a first round or something like that. And last year we played Cracklow in the first round of the championship and we beat them. And I'm not joking, it was one of the greatest days I've ever had on the hurling field, just winning that first round, you know. And I suppose that was a big accomplishment that we achieved that year. And okay, we mightn't have won a medal at the end of the year, but we still felt that we achieved something. So I don't necessarily agree with Paddy on that, in that regard.
I think what Paddy is trying to, you know, paint a picture of is that commitment level is fine for a couple of years, you know, and the pride of playing for your county, you know, will drive you to give commitment levels. But maybe after the amount of time he's given it to it, and, you know, the without a chance of winning anything, maybe it's just been a build up of things for him. I do take your point that representing your county is a huge honour, but at the same time I do think the managers kind of take advantage of that a little bit and ask you to maybe, you know, give up too much of your life based on the fact that you love the game, you're proud to represent your family, you're proud to play for your county. And I actually think there's not too much players won't do to be part of that, Michael. And I do think sometimes that managers take advantage of that by really dictating their lives.
Yeah, well, I was in the same position as Paddy, where when I started with Dublin for the first 6 years, we were at the back end of some big hidings, like 15, 20 points, and you'd be dejected after. But the times of training and the commitment and playing at the pinnacle of what you love to do in hurling outweighed that. And we always were making progression. It might be slow, but we're going forward. And if you're happy enough with that and you think it might go somewhere, that was the driving factor for us, even though we weren't really going anywhere with the county for them few years. And eventually it did come good. And new managers came in. We had some really good panels when we were being beaten by them main margins. But it was a mentality thing then. Like, you know, we were going out, being no tactics, being told just to go out and play Kilkenny there and see how he's get on, and they get a few scores up and the heads would drop and he'd be hammered. Whereas that changed over the few years and lads get mentally tougher, and the development panels within the county really played a part in that, because young lads were coming through and beating all these teams, Kilkenny, Tipps, Wexford, Clares, and they had that winning mentality. And some young lads came into the panel, they were like, I'm not afraid of anyone, I'm going to go out here and play and beat these. And that was a huge factor into the turning point of Dublin hurling.
Yeah.
And I know where Paddy's coming from. Like, he's 28, he's at the tail end of his career. And if he doesn't see, think they're going to improve in the next 5 years, why is he staying? That's his mentality. But the big difference, I think, with Brent, with Bugs and Paddy's thing, was the one size fits all, I think, was Brendan's main point.
That's the thing, and that's like, the point.
If you're 10 years in a training camp, I don't think you should be doing what the 18 and 19 year olds are doing training wise. Their development, their body, their development, their fitness, you know how to do it in your 10 years, and you should know how to look after yourself 10 years in. I think that was Brendan's main point from his article, and I completely agreed with it.
I think that one size fits all, and like, I mean, you had players come back at Paddy O'Rourke, and like Dara Foley from Carlow said that either you enjoy being part of the intercounty setup or not, nobody forcing you to be part of it. I hate that attitude. That's an attitude you hear from a lot of supporters. Well, they're not being forced to doing it. But like, me and Bugs, you trained on Christmas morning, I'm pretty sure, with Davy Fitz. Like, I'm sure there might have been half the panel happy enough, well, maybe not half, like a third of the panel that were happy enough to do that, a third that went, oh, this is hard, and then a third that was like, this is outrageous. See, there's no players right and no players wrong. It's just the panel is too big. Everybody has different tolerances for what's too much.
Yeah, exactly. And Willie, at the end of the day, it boils down to priorities. And you know, when I started off playing with the county, and even, you know, when I was in college and when I started off in my career teaching, you know, I was only gunning for a training session in the evening. I used to love the idea. It didn't matter if it was 4, 5, 6 days a week. I loved that. But then as I moved on in my career, obviously other priorities take centre stage. And, you know, in the last couple of years, I got married. You know, I have a 5-month-old there as well. And, you know, in September, I was weighing up, well, do I actually want to be gone, you know, 5 days a week and committing to this? And I suppose the answer was no. And really, I looked at myself and I said, am I going to be as good as I was when I was 27, 28? And the answer was no as well. So my, you know, idea was, what's the point going back if I'm not going to be as good as I was? And also, do I want to be, you know, out of the house 5 or 6 days a week? But don't get me wrong, there was a time, Willie, when I was at nothing in the evening.
Yeah.
And the idea of training was, I just absolutely loved. But the big change came when the whole S&C commenced. Like, before, earlier on in my career, you were literally only training 3 days a week. But when the S&C started to become a big part of GA, it meant you were training 5, 6 days a week. And that's been the biggest change, I think, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has. There's no doubt about that. That just brought it to a different level. But I mentioned on the football show, Michael, like, if you were to mention to a professional rugby player, professional soccer player, what, even Australian rules, like, I mean, Colin Begley's often told me he'd tell the lads out in Brisbane Lions what GA players do, and they were laughing. Like, they couldn't get over this. Like, they would think hard work is coming back in the evening and doing something. Like, you mean, and that's getting home. Like, you train a couple of hours in the morning. A lot of the day is based around recovery and being a professional athlete. Like, where's the breaking point? Why should Bugs have to say, well, I have a 5-month-old now, I don't think I can give it? Or why should anybody feel like that? Has it gone that little bit too far now that we're losing players that we don't have to lose? And will it get even worse than that?
Yeah, the biggest eye-opener for me, Willie, was when we were taken away to Portugal for our first training camp. And you get up in the morning, you do a light session, and then you're saying to yourself, you're going for a swim, you're going for a sleep, and then you might go out that evening and do a training session, and you're saying, oh my God, it's a different kettle of fish. Like, this is what professional sports people do.
Yeah, but GAA are trying to fit that in outside of a life. How is this sustainable year on year to be able to have to do this? And you're getting back to the house at 1 a.m. fellas that are commuting, they have some horrific, and again, they're all doing it because of the love of it, and because I think that's taken advantage of, and I think everybody wants to get better. And in a way, if you're the one on the panel that goes, geez lads, this is a little bit too, well, you obviously don't want to win, do you?
Yeah,
that's the way, and you'd be treated as a black sheep because you might want to. I don't know, it's just like, how are the reins ever going to be pulled back in on it? Are they?
And it's taken away some unbelievable sports players as well, because if the management went to say Bugs at the end of the year and said, right, we don't want you doing this strength and condition on your own. Take them nights off and then play for, train twice and then play the weekend. would you still have Brendan Bugler hurling then? You know, and like, he's a huge asset to Clare, and there's so many players out there like that who retired early because there wasn't that option for them. So I think management are really going to have to, this is where man management comes into it. Like it's hard to keep 30 lads in a panel happy, but I don't think any younger lads will disagree with keeping a senior lad on who won't have to train quite as much. I don't think that'd be an issue for most panels.
I don't know what kind of a loss he is with Sane Amori and Mickey O'Malley playing so well yesterday, but we'll get into that in part two. Another one I wanted to throw at you here, lads, was Davy Fitz, and he came back out with his management team after half time. I was watching this on Air Sport and they commented on this. So they went in at half time. Wexford obviously weren't going well. We won't get into analysis of this. We'll do that in part two. But Tipperary really took over before half time and just blew Wexford out of it. And then they came out early from the dressing room. So I've seen this plenty of times in my football career where the management will go, sort it out yourselves. It was a mess, you know, whatever. And then you have the leaders that stand up and they'll, you know, talk about it. And you often can get a reaction if you use that. What I'm wondering, Bugs, is that we're only in February, and how many tricks do managers have for this type of thing? And I'm just wondering, is Davy using this card a little bit too soon to win a league game when they're already sitting on 4 points?
I don't know. Look, at Davy has his different approaches to every game. Obviously, he was fairly disappointed with the way they performed in the last 15 minutes in the first half. And no matter what, I don't know. Sometimes you just have to leave it up to the players. He did it once or twice with us as well. But I suppose it's just the way he was feeling at that time. He was obviously fairly ticked about how they performed in the last 15 minutes when Tip outscored them. What was it, 11 points to 1 or something like that?
But, yeah, but what I'm wondering is does it lose its effect? You know, you can do that and go a bit mad in the dressing room, but if I see a manager doing that all year, you know what I mean? You probably wouldn't get that reaction that you might get if he used that, for example, in the first round of a championship.
Yeah, I think it's a bit gimmicky sometimes, you know? Like, managers try and build leaders in the dressing room, but if they do it too often, you're sort of looking around the dressing room going, oh, here we go again. Someone, you have to say something because you're seen as a leader rather than saying something that's going to work. I've been left in dressing rooms. I remember Jerry Cunningham came in one day and didn't say one word. And we were sitting around sort of looking at each other, and there was loads of leaders in the dressing room. But you sort of need that one man, the manager, to come in and give you a bollocking sometimes you're in a hurling way.
He came in and said nothing.
Nothing. And you're sort of looking, we're looking around the dressing room, sort of looking at each other going, right, what's next? You know?
Yeah.
And there was loads of leaders in that dressing room, but sometimes you need a manager to step up and tell you what to do, you know. And it worked. It worked for Wexford. They came out in the second half and hurled really well, but I agree, you can't do it all the time. It might be early.
Because I'm kind of basing this on the fact, Bugs, that we've spoken on the show here about, it's almost like three seasons now in the hurling, that you have the league and then you're back to the clubs, and then you have another league which they never had before, and then you have kind of the knockout part of it. So I don't know, I'm just wondering, is he using up these kind of tricks managers have a little bit early in the season? Pretty much, I don't disagree with what he's with doing it. I've seen it before and it can get the reaction.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure before the game he hadn't ended.
Yeah,
you know, it all depends on the game and how it's going. Like, but I agree with Mick. Like, if you keep doing it too often, it's going to lose its appeal. It works for some games. It obviously worked for Wexford last day because, as Mick said, they come after half time and they were a different team in the second half. But if you do it too often, it does lose its appeal. But as I said, I'm pretty sure Fitzy had not planned on doing that. He probably just thought of it straight away when the whistle went at half time, that this is something that I'm going to have to do today. But he doesn't do it too often anyway.
Yeah, Derek McGrath is another interesting one, because he's kind of on the other side of this coin, in that he's been on record saying, if we lose matches in the league, if we go down to Division 2, it's not the end of the world. And it's a completely different narrative than he used to be, like Davy, where he really wanted to do well in the league. Now he's looking at a big picture. It looks like it's his last year. But here's the interesting one with him. He said after a game, he says, we're in deep trouble regarding relegation. There's no doubt about that. I've been saying that we're following a process, which is fair enough, he's looking at the big picture, but he says, but we targeted a big performance in this game and there's no way around it, we didn't get it in terms of intensity. So, like, I mean, this is a bit of a kick up the arse to Derek McGrath, who's planning in a different way to Davy, but kind of, can you get them to switch on in a game? Or, like, do players kind of take it from your post-match interview that, we're looking at a bigger picture here, and then you say, lads, I want it from you today?
Yeah, I'm a lot more worried for Waterford than I was at the start of the year. I know for the first few games he chopped and changed players and had different teams, but that was more or less their championship team against Kilkenny, and minus, say, Brick, and they were out-hurled and out-fought for every ball. And it's where do they come up for answers now? I think they've tried lads in different positions. Tom Devine looks like a good find there. Now, I know he's been there for the last few years, but he's come into his own in the last few games. But apart from that, I'm worried for Waterford. What direction do they go in now? And do the players have a sniff of that this is Derek's last year? And you know, yeah, when you get that.
I don't think there's anything to panic about with Waterford, because it's only the league. And like I said, if they get relegated, they have a handy year next year. They'll get out of Division 2. It's no panics, Bugs, I don't think. But what you'd be concerned about is that he said he really targeted a big performance in this one and he didn't get it.
Yeah, and it's very, very hard to plan a year. Like last year, it seemed to go well from, you know, they planned on surviving in Division 1A. And then when it came to the quarterfinal against Galway, the rings of changes. Everyone was kind of surprised. Nearly beat Galway, but they didn't. And all the talk last year was he was planning towards championship. He seems to have gone with the same approach this year. But it's very, very hard to plan that, okay, we're going to just tip away through the league. If we win games, we win games. If we don't, we don't. I don't know how management can do that, can plan like. What does it actually mean? Does it mean they're trying out new players or whatever? But as he said, the worrying point from Waters' point of view was they actually had, whatever, 12 or 13 in their All-Ireland team from last year and they didn't perform. Have they found anybody new that can step up to the mark? They haven't really. Okay, Tom Devine has come in. He's a good target man for them up front, but they just seem so sluggish at the moment. They seem like they're kind of headless in what they're doing.
Yeah.
The whole sweeper system. Milan came out yesterday and he said how predictable they have become, and they have become predictable. And teams are just copping on to what they're doing. You see him with Ty Burka yesterday. They basically shoved TJ Reid up in him. He got little time on the ball at all, and they just seemed pure blackluster and headless and lost for ideas.
And what do you do with Austin Gleeson as well? Will he, like, yeah, you can't have a player like that. He was barely on the ball for the game. Like centre back, it sort of dictates a goalkeeper's not going to land the ball on Austin Gleeson, so it takes him out of the game straight away. And I don't know, I might just put him back into centre forward or even corner forward and then do what he wants. Like, let him don't play with a sweeper.
Well,
anymore.
They tried that last year and Spillane followed him around the field.
Yeah,
against Cork.
I know. It's just like, you have to get him on the ball for Waterford to win games. You have to get him on the ball.
What I'm wondering, like, I take your point of planning the year. I think that's impossible, and we actually did see with Waterford last year when they, you know, played a second team against Galway in the Ireland quarter final. Then they actually lost when they were targeted in the championship against Cork with a really flat display. What I think targeting is maybe, Brendan, is the strength and conditioning and the physical training, that maybe during the league they're running up hills where other teams aren't, and they're, you know, the way all these fitness coaches will have you peaking for the right time of the year. Maybe that's the bigger picture they're looking at. Obviously they're trying to go out and win games, but while other teams might do the hard work before Christmas with a view of peaking for the league, Waterford are maybe of a view we might slog away until April and then look to peak for this Munster League.
Yeah, I suppose maybe that's it, Willie. I don't know the answer to it. I just think we'd have to ask Derek McGrath and his management team or any of the Waterford players about that. I don't know what way they're approaching it, but a lot of those players as well, they'd have been playing Fitzgibbon, you know, so I can't imagine that they'd have been flogged too much at training, at Waterford training over the last couple of weeks, you know, but
this is just my theory.
Maybe that could be it. But I think, you know, how much flogging can you actually do? Like, you know, when you games week in, week out, it's something that they are doing. But physically, they just seem a little bit off that as well. Likewise with Tipperary, they don't seem, you know, physically that fit at the moment compared to other teams. But I'm sure in the championship they'll have that got right.
Yeah, because it's just like, it is definitely such a long year. It's hard to figure out how you can stay at a good pitch for the whole year. There's so many peaks, so many peaks and troughs. Tommy Walsh and Anthony Daly, lad, were doing the co-com the other night, and I love both men a lot, but I found two of them hard to listen to when I put the two of them together, because they're actually such similar characters in that everything's brilliant, everybody's fantastic, so everyone's playing brilliantly. They both like to tell a little story about different things, and I just went, geez, I'd love Tommy Walsh with somebody else. You need a counterbalance to their infectious enthusiasm and love for the game. game and everything's rosy in the garden.
Need you beside them, will
like, what really was the end of it for me was Conor MacDonald, who was going through an awful run of form in my opinion. Yeah. I'll get your opinion on this. But then Conor MacDonald's name was mentioned in the second half. What a brilliant player Conor MacDonald is, Tommy Walsh. I was like, Jesus, Tommy, everybody's not brilliant or playing brilliantly, but they'll never change. It's just maybe air putting the two of them together might not, I don't know. Maybe some people enjoyed it.
Oh geez, I think the two of them are brilliant. They're so infectious, you know, they absolutely love the game. It comes across so much. I know what you're saying, that they had no negative words on anybody. But I listened to them both all day. I agree with you with Conor MacDonald though. Like, all the talk when he was younger, and he hurled brilliantly up to under 21, and he's taken a dip in form for the last year too. I think he's a marked man as well because he's such a good hurler. He's getting a bit of extra attention, but again, I think they're great, the two lads, to be honest.
What do you think, Bugs?
I think they're brilliant, right? They're two fantastic individuals, just two absolute characters. And what you see Tommy Walsh, you know, on Air Sports, and what you see of Dalo as well, that is them. Like if you're out on a Saturday night going for a few pints with them, that's them. They're not any different, you know. They are those people. They're not putting on a show. It's just them, and they're just, and they're two pure characters, and they're what the GA needs as well, you know. But I understand what you're saying about the whole positivity and Rosie and everything like that. But that's just them, you know.
That's it, sir. They're not going to change, and I'm not criticising either two of them. But I criticise hurling pundits for being overly positive in general anyways, even on the Sunday game. They very rarely criticise the game, and I think when you have Tommy Walsh and Anthony Daly together, that just brings it to peak, peak positivity, and I'm such a negative little bollocks that I can't handle it. Right, we'll be back in a second with some look back at the matches.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I'll tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I'll tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, so we're talking about teams targeting the league and teams peaking at the right time for the league. And Bugs, Clare certainly seem to be a team that have said, right, no more Mr. Nice Guy, we're going to hit the ground running in this league. They've now beaten the big three. A psychological thing maybe for Clare, who, like a lot of people would say, they've maybe slipped off those top teams in the last few years. So, like, I mean, competing with these teams, beating these teams and coming with a new style of play, like it does look, without reading too much in the league, but it definitely looks like a new Clare.
Yeah, definitely. They obviously targeted the league at the start there. They want to go out and they want to win every game, but I suppose what's really impressed me is they have such a settled look about their team now, right down through the spine. Conor Cleary is having a great year full back. Jamie Mack is settled into centre back. You know, they have bulked up their forwards a little bit. You know, you have, you know, maybe other years we had kind of small, nippy, light players, but they've got a balance there now, and they're playing with that little bit of freedom. And maybe for a couple of years, it might have overdid maybe the short game a little bit. But with this bunch of players and the way they're playing at the moment, the direct ball seems to suit them. And they just started off really, really well, you know. And everyone seems to be chipping in when it comes to the scores. And they're getting scores from all over the place. Like yesterday, you had Mikey O'Malley, you got 2 points. Shane Amore, you got 2 points. Colm Galvin got 2. Tony, 2. Niall Deasy scored. John Connolly got 2. David Reedy. Shane Donald was going to win that score, but Shane Donald set up about 5 points. Yeah. So they're just really, really sticking at the moment, you know.
Yeah, and they have a really nice balance now as well. We talked about that before, you know, the balance of a bit of size, the balance of the short ball and the long ball. And I know last year, I think different Clare players were talking about playing off the cuff. And I remember talking on the podcast wondering, what does that mean? Yeah. they seem to have more of a structure now than rather just go out and play off the cuff. You know, like, I mean, they're mixing up both games well, and they seem to be a really well-drilled team.
Oh, they found that combination, Willie. Like, you've seen Tony Kelly doing 1-2s yesterday with Shane O'Donnell. Unbelievable scores, you know, and you haven't seen Tony do that for the last year or two. He seems to have that freedom in the middle. And then with DC, Conlon and Duggan in the forward line, the forwards are just eating off the breaking balls, and they're just doing the dog work. And then the speed of Reid is ridiculous. Like, he got away from everybody yesterday about four times.
He's really found his position now.
Yeah, he's hurling really, really well. Like, and you've seen Podge doing well yesterday for the first time in a long time. And then when you have the likes of Conor McGrath coming on as a sub, like, he's a ridiculous hurler. That Clare panel are really strong, and they're hurling really well at the moment.
Yeah, I thought what really jumped out at me, Bugs, when I was watching the game was, and it wasn't mentioned on League Sunday last night, was their tactics for the Cork puck out. So they were almost like they went zonal. So the full forward line dropped off the Cork full back line halfway between the full back line and the half back line, and then the midfield dropped back one, or the half forward line dropped back half, and then the midfield dropped back. And it looked to me like, because Nash likes to hit the Cork half forward line, so Clare were positioning people in front of them, and they were all just dropping back half a line and putting their hurls up, and like, they got loads of joy out of it. I'm not sure if that was an obvious tactic to you.
Yeah, last year in the Munster final, we tried to do something similar enough, but the problem was they dropped back a little too much. But yesterday when they were dropping back, there wasn't the same space, you know, between the full forward line and the half forward line. So Nash actually couldn't hit the sharp puck out. That's what killed us last year in the Munster final.
Yeah,
sharp puck out, and Lamb was getting the ball, whoever was getting the ball, and they were just going direct by passing our half back line. We made Nash puck the ball long yesterday from the puck out, and you know, our half back line of Malley and Dave McInerney and Shannon, they just cleaned up everything. They broke everything to the ground. Then you had Cullum and Tony were onto the breaks, and David Reedy was back there as well. So it was kind of the whole, it was summed up really with the point Tony got in the second half, where he caught an Ash puck out, good ball to Shane O'Donnell, 1-2 and over the bar. But that kind of summed up the whole day really.
I think it was, and like that is a good point, because I remember analysing that Munster final last year, and there was almost like Nash give it to the corner back, but it backfired because they were launching him long. But yesterday you could see Shane O'Donnell almost goading Nash into giving it to the full back line. It's almost like he wanted him to, and then they were close enough to him, they were going to light on him and create that turnover. And Podge Collins, who's brilliant at that kind of stuff, and it was the perfect kind of tactics from Clare, learned from their mistake last year in the Munster final, Mick, and it's just the perfect thing to do for Nash, when you know where he wants to hit it, but kind of cut off that supply line for him.
If you stop Nash's puck out, it's a huge way of beating Cork. But like, Cork frustrated me no end during the weekend. Like Harnedy is a super hurler. I've marked him loads of times. His attributes are unbelievable, but he seems to go by two players at will and score a point, and you don't see him for 25 minutes then. And I think that's where Cork really have to get that bit of consistency out of forward. Same with Patrick Horgan, can do something super and then he disappears for game patches into games. They're their leaders, and you need them in the game all the time, Willie. And it's something that's crept into that Cork game, where they don't all perform all the time. It's, you might have one lad perform in one game and then they disappear for long periods. And also, like, Nash came out twice to take frees from just inside his own 45 and blasted him wide. Who is that good to, like, you know? I don't think he should be near a free. Like, a half back could easily drop a ball into the full forward line. It's just as easy, and it's better than going wide. So, like, it's another tactic. I think it's not working for Cork at the moment. Like, why is he coming out and taking frees from his own 45?
Yeah, like, you see a lot of goalkeepers doing
absolutely
it. They were doing it the other night against.
It's grand if you're scoring them, but yeah, they were going miles wide, and it's a nothing ball. Like, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't make much sense to me.
I wanted to talk to you, Bugs, quickly about Shane O'Donnell, because, like you mentioned, he didn't score, but he was involved in so much. And I'm just wondering how much pressure was on him after that All Ireland final performance, because it looks to me like there's so much more to his game than actually scoring. So, like, I mean, did it take him a while to kind of figure that out and kind of know what he's about without that pressure of scoring 3-3 hanging over his shoulders?
Yeah, he's probably the most unselfish player I've ever played, to be honest with you. And he's just a real, real team player. He knows his limitations as well. And Sods would tell you himself he's not the greatest striker in the world. You know, he might find it difficult to put a ball over the bar from 50 yards or 60 yards, you know what I mean? But he knows that no one can rival his first touch. And if he gets the ball into hand, the Clare forward seems to know if you run off Stad's shoulder, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
Right? And he knows he's so smart with the ball that Tony knew straight away when he hit the ball to him. If he made a run, Dodds would have seen him. He has that kind of peripheral vision that is unrivaled. And he's the ultimate team player, and he's a massive player for us at the moment. And his form is just phenomenal. And as I said, these forwards, they like the direct ball, and Sod's no more than any of them. He loves that direct ball in.
2013, I remember we played a friendly early in the year in Clare against Clare, and Dalo says to me, I'm going to try a full back today, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
So it wasn't Cunningham doing this. Dalo started.
Dalo tried it, but. So it was on Shane O'Donnell. He said, look, he's a nippy forward, he's a good hurler. I didn't know much about him at the time. And 2 goals in 15 minutes he scored. Like, really? He was so good. Like,
and is it his movement or what's
his speed? But like, there were low balls in his hand and he was gone before I even seen him. And like, it was good. Cause
Mick, I have to correct you on that one. It was in Park Rec and Iskin in Leash, I think we played.
Oh, was it? Yeah. You remember, yeah. So well, yeah, laughing at me.
I remember, yeah.
But Dale was like, within second half, you're back out half back there. I was like, delighted. But it was the first time I came across him, and he's a super hurler. I couldn't believe how quick his hands were, because there were low balls, no hurl into his hand, and he was gone. And Dale had told me before the game how direct he was, but I seen it firsthand how good he was, so it didn't surprise me in the All-Ireland final to see him playing so well, you know.
And that's the thing, I'm sure, for a young fella, after having the introduction he had, like, I mean, people would have had expectations of him that maybe he wasn't ever going to back up, but that, like, everybody thought this lad's going to be the new, you know, big thing, but he's a much more all-round player than that. I'd say Peter Duggan in beside him, Bugs, helps him a lot, and Podge Collins, and the balance in there. I look at those three players and I see some completely different qualities from all three of them, and I suppose managers are always trying to find a balance in a forward line.
Yeah, I think that's the key, and Sod is obviously, he's loving that role, you know, having people beside him. But David Reedy has really come into himself as well. He likes the big men around him. He's great. He's a speed merchant. He's great when it comes to the break. He needs the bigger guys around him that are going to break the ball down to him. And if there's a rook or if there's a quick ball down from a break, David Reedy is just on to straight away. So, you know, Peter Duggan last year was playing great stuff. And he was very, very unlucky now not to start in the Munster final. And you see what he did when he came on against Tip in the championship. He was absolutely brilliant. Pure ball winner. He brought that form then into the club championship, and he's continued it into the league. He's a great striker of a ball, and it's good to see him on the free. It's good to see Clare with a settled free taker as well. And you just need that balance. Every team needs that balance. You need the big guys, you need the smaller guys around that are going to probably win breaks quicker than the bigger guys. And they just seem to have got that balance right.
Yeah, and was that always a difficult thing for you as a half-back? Because like, you did play that short game a lot, and listen, it won you an All-Ireland. Like, I mean, you can't ever take that away from you. But like, I mean, from being a half-back and you're under pressure, because we know the intensity levels of the middle third are out of control, and you not really having that option to just get rid of it. Sometimes I'd say the relief of just having a Peter Duggan in there to go, look, I'm okay. Like, did you find it frustrating, Bugs, you know, with the game plan not being that?
Funny, like if you actually look back to 2013, we actually did play quite a bit of direct hurling. We mixed it up, and there was often times in the championship I got the ball, the first thing I did was just let it down. You know, everyone seems to think that we played this lovely running game, you know, quick, wristy hurling, all that, but we didn't a lot of the time. A lot of the time we just let it in, and got the rewards from it. I suppose it was in the years after we kind of maybe played the short game a little bit more, but you know, as a defender, a great way to get into the game is to get the ball into your hand and just let it go. Do you know what I mean? Because if you get a ball into your hand starting off in the game, and you might go short, might get intercepted, you know, you have a lot of people on your back straight away. So from a defender's point of view, once you get the ball into your hand, once you let it go into the forwards, you're in the game. And the longer the strike, nearly the better it feels for you.
Yeah, the crowd, fist pump.
Yeah, but the crowd give you that cheer, because regardless, no matter what way you look at it, the crowd respond to those clearances. The Tommy Walsh, the Ken McGrath, the winning a catch and just letting it go. And maybe you're right, Bugs. I didn't really think about that. And the perception I have is not thinking of 2013. It's thinking more of the years when it's in my head that Clare overdid it a bit, Mick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, 2013 was a phenomenal year for hurling. I think it was one of the best years around. But like, I played against Clare that year. They did go quite a bit. I don't know if when Donald Lowe came in, did he have that presence of mind to bring in that Cork thing where they go really short all the time. But it didn't work for them as quite as much. But definitely you see like the likes of Paddy Maher and all catching a ball and clearing it 80 yards. It's the biggest lift is getting a great goal. So from a defender's point of view, there's nothing better than clearing it 80 yards. If you
yeah,
get a chance.
Exactly. Talk to us about Mick O'Malley then, Bugs. He scored 2 points. Sienna Mori scored 2 points as well. So that's a good return from the two wing backs. Mickey O'Malley likes a fist pump as well. So it's fairly obvious who his hero growing up. I don't need to see a player profile to know who his hero growing up was.
Yeah, I taught him well, didn't I? No, look, see about Mikey. Mikey has always been, he's always been a great hurler underage, right? He didn't really have a settled position, though. With Mick, you could play him corner forward, you could play him midfield, wing forward, never really had a settled position. He was on the panel, straight out of minor, but never really, I suppose, established himself. Then last year, he actually got dropped. And I think it was the best thing that ever happened, to be honest with you, because he seems to have come back this year with a totally different attitude. He was always one of these flair players who would, like, he scored 2 points. Yes, Mikey's been doing that all his career. But what really made him yesterday was his work rate and the little flicks he was getting in. You know, he got 2 flicks in there in the first half. It just a phenomenal work rate that he brought. His attitude seems to be bang on this year, and you know, it was just such a. It was great to see him. Great to see him doing so well, but. Like, Clare had the same 6 backs the first day and the second day, and we were wondering, Jesus, what happens here now if one of the boys get injured? Have we cover? And you don't know the cover until you actually try it with the players that are on the bench. And Mikey stepped in yesterday, and he had a phenomenal game. So now, in Clare, we know that, right, if David Fitz is out, if Shane Amore is out, we have a guy here of real, real quality that'll come in and that'll do a great job for us.
Right, okay, so that's more like, I mean, we're not looking at maybe a starter here, Mick. We're looking at, you know, Davy Fitz's replacement if. Yeah. Davy Fitz brings that physicality in his
Well, he put his hand up yesterday. Yeah. It's very hard to leave off the pitch the next day he goes out. So he hurled really well. As Bogue said, the most impressive thing yesterday, I know we got 2 points, but his chasing back and getting them 2 or 3 flicks off the lads. And his pace he showed for physicality, really impressive. Like I'd find it hard to leave him off the start 15 now the next day.
Yeah, okay, right. Wexford and Tip on Saturday night, and obviously the two lads made this sound like it was an unbelievable game, and it was a good game, but I thought there was a bit of a challenge game feel, but maybe not as intense as I thought it would be, but it looked to me like a really convincing win for Tip. Wexford battled back, a bit like the Clare Cork game. Like, I mean, there was only really one winner for a lot of the game, but like, I mean, the rally at the end will give Wexford something to work on, but Wexford would. Very, very strong team looked well off Tip with not a full team, you know what I mean? Yeah. And Tip making sounds that they're not mad going for the league, they're trying out players. So I don't know, like Davey put a positive spin on it.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I know at the end he said he didn't think it was a 6-point gap, but the problem with rallies at the end, well, you don't know if a team take their foot off the gas or are you just hurling really well.
Yeah.
There's that aspect and you just don't know. Wexford did some really good things. But again, I think just Tip could up the gears whenever they wanted. Whenever Wexford got close, Tip were able to up it, and Tip looked really good for me. Like Jason Ford was on flying form, and he has a bit of a problem there when Callanan comes in. Who do you play there?
Yeah,
I know. I don't know if Jason Ford would suit corner forward or Callanan would suit corner forward. Who do you play in full forward there? But it's a good problem to have, I suppose, if you're a manager.
There's no doubt. We'll start on Wexford, though, because where do you see the progression with Wexford, Bugs? Like, I mean, we know David Dunn is in there, and, like, I mean, he's a new forward, but tactically they're pretty similar, and can they make the step up without some new players? Rory O'Connor came on after 48 minutes. He's new and he's a good young player.
Foley in the middle,
yeah. He was very good too. Conor McDonald's form isn't great. How do you see Wexford pushing on, Bugs?
Yeah, I think they're playing well. We've often talked about this sweeper system, and are they going to actually kick on, and can they win big games? Can you go and win an All-Ireland playing it? I don't really know. It seems to be a system, though, that suits their play. I don't know, would it be the same team that they are if they win a full 15 on 15? But there's no doubt about it. They are going to become a little bit predictable if they keep playing the same sweeper system every single game that they play. But look, at yesterday, it was the 20 minutes or 15 minutes just before halftime that absolutely killed them.
Yeah.
You know, Tip outscored them 11 points to 1, and that can't happen. Like, that can't happen. But other than that, you know, there was a lot of positive signs, and the way they rallied in the second half, the way they finished the game showed they're superior.
fitness levels. They finished the game 7-1, you know, in the last 10 minutes, outscoring Tip. So there's a lot of positives. So Conor McDonald should have had two goals near the end. One he flicked one hand, and then the other one the chin passed across to him. So from a Wexford point of view, I wouldn't have been majorly disappointed, but your point in relation to have they unearthed a couple of new players, they seem to have the same players from last year, really. But they're going to every single game they play, they're going to need Conor McDonald on top form, they're going to need Shin on top form, Matthew Hallin, and especially Sean Murphy, the sweeper, because he actually had a poor enough game Saturday night, you know, caught in possession a couple of times. And whoever's going to be a sweeper, he's going to have to be, you know, on his game every single game you play.
The one thing you notice about Tipperary, and I've always noticed it, and even you notice it about Clare as well, and these top teams, is the ball they give into the forward line. Like Galway do it too. Well, like Galway can give in long ones, but Wexford kind of based their system around teams that launch it down, and Murphy will get the break and Kilkenny fall into that trap. Yeah. But the more sophisticated teams like Tipperary, maybe the sweeper isn't as, you know, smart against them, because they don't launch it down on top of them. Like, they're too smart, and then you're giving them Paddy Maher as a free man, which is the one player in Ireland you don't want free. Yeah. So you would think, like what Boog says, maybe it does work, but it doesn't always have to be like that. Yeah. You don't have to play it against Tipperary. You could go out in a league game and say, let's see how we go without it tonight. Let's surprise them and let teams in the championship kind of have to guess, what are Wexford going to do today?
Yeah, the short ball counters the spare man completely, Woolly, and that's what Tip did. They played short ball staff forward and got point after point after point.
Yeah.
And a spare man is useless in that scenario. Like, I've been there, we've played it with Dublin over the years, a sweeper. It's trying to manage between curtailing the team scoring loads and winning the game. Like, you might only, as a sweeper, you're normally not going to win a game by an awful lot. It's going to come close, and you might win it by a point or two, but you have to score the goal chances when they come across, because when you're playing a sweeper, they're few and far between. And as Boog said yesterday, like, Conor McDonald missed two fairly easy goal chances. So I know the one hand would have been an unbelievable goal, but the second one he definitely should have put away. And you have to be scoring them if you're playing the sweeper, because they don't come across too often, because it's 5-6 at the back line, and it makes it very difficult for the forwards to get goals, you know.
Yeah. What do you see wrong with Conor McDonald, Bugs? Because he started Davies' reign off so well, and he looked unplayable, and Lee Chin was in beside him in the full forward line. Then Lee Chin's come out, he's continued his brilliant form. He just looks on a different level to a lot of players. Maybe the full time professional athlete's doing him no harm. But what do you think? Is Conor McDonald getting demoralised with a man standing in front of him? Because he does. I asked him on the podcast last year that, you know, you're going, the way you play, you're always going to have a man in front of you from now on. And he was like, yeah, no, I know that, or whatever. But like, he's a big man and can win his own ball. I don't see him being used even that much.
Yeah, so to me, he just like looks like a player that's going through just a bad run of form. He looks like he's kind of lacking a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the Conor McDonald of a year ago or 2 years ago, where he was winning those 50-50 balls and, you know, putting them over the bar from every place. Sometimes players, they just go through that, you know, a couple of weeks where just the form isn't there. Like in Clare at the moment, we're seeing it a little bit Conor McGrath, but I can guarantee you with Conor McGrath come the championship, he's going to be on fire. Like, so I wouldn't be overly worried if I was a Wexford supporter about how Conor is playing at the moment. Really, you want Conor playing well, you know, in the middle of the summer. And he just needs to get that little bit of confidence back, get a couple of more scores on the board. Only got a point there, you know, yesterday or Saturday night. Usually he's scoring 6-7 points a game. I don't know about taking him off the freeze as well. I think being on the freeze actually suits him. Like you've seen the other night, Chin missed 4 frees in the second half or something like that. I think Conor is actually a great free taker, really good free taker. But maybe if he's put back in the freeze, it might build up his confidence a little bit and he'll get back to where he is.
But was Chin not always on the long range ones and McDonald was on the short ones, and Morris has taken the freeze off McDonald, or is it because they seem to, like, they're an unusual team in that they don't have the one free taker?
Paul Morris is a very good free taker, but the more important thing is I would put Conor McDonald on the freeze. It's just to build confidence.
Yeah.
If he gets a few scores, he has his name on the scoreboard, and it just builds and they need him to be on the ball. I think it's more beneficial to put him on the freeze.
You hear free takers saying all the time that getting a few frees plays them into the
absolutely,
game.
Absolutely,
you know?
And Lee Chin doesn't need that confidence.
He's flying it.
Yeah,
play.
Absolutely, and he's not a great free taker. He's okay, but you see him miss quite a few. So if it was me, I'd have Paul Morris and Conor McDonald on him.
Yeah, okay, right. Definitely, it's one to look out for is McDonald, because like he's so bloody good, yeah, and like he's so good in the air as well. Yeah. You just don't see balls in on top of him, or maybe it's because
fullbacks know as well where they can break the ball down now because there's only a centre forward, centre back in front of them.
Yeah,
they don't have to go
they're
for
not
in the
hot,
air.
They're not
so
catching they're
just
with them.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's definitely playing into their hands.
Right.
But the thing about being a free taker, guys, and you know this as well, you have to be taking frees all your life and be so comfortable. Like in Clare, we Conor Ryan. Just so comfortable taking free since he was under 10. You know, in Wexford at the moment, Chin to me looks like a manufacturer free taker. That's kind of only started taking frees, I suppose, in the last 2 years. I don't believe he would have been taking them with his club or with the county at underage level up along, while Conor has, you know. So to me, a free taker has to be someone that has been taking frees all their life and is just so comfortable in that setting, you know. I think that's an important part of it too.
Yeah, well, you'd give an insight into Davey there. What would Davey be thinking there? Would this, because Davey obviously we know is a brilliant manager and he wouldn't make decisions like this just on the drop of a hat. Have you any kind of theory why he would have Lee Chin on the frees and McDonald not?
I don't know. I don't really know, to be honest.
Yeah, he'd know the players personally.
Unless he's afraid of
exactly
having the opposite effect on he's watching Conor McDonald taking frees and training, it's not working, and it'll become a negative impact. It'll do more damage to his confidence. Maybe that's the only thing, but we don't know what's going on. He's obviously looking at him taking frees and training, it's not working out.
Yeah. No, Davey might know a little bit more than us here on this particular topic. Tipperary, then, before we finish up, lads. Obviously, the talk about Tipperary is that they're trying lads out, and we had The Rock on the show here, Bugs, on the first show, and he said last year, and it's very obvious, as Tipperary had gotten too predictable. We knew where everyone was going to play, we knew what way they were going to play, and I think this is the lesson that Michael Ryan has learned from last year, is in I want more unpredictability. I don't want my team to be almost named before. You don't want us naming it here on the podcast because, like, I mean, that's not working for anybody. And like, definitely now the way the team's kind of moved around and fellas to come back, it doesn't look very predictable.
Yeah, look, I think Michael Ryan, like Brian Cody, they're targeting the summer, and they realise that there's going to be a lot of games, you know, and he's trying to unearth a couple of new players, and, you know, he's putting in the likes of Feeding their cornerback or wingback, he's putting in Sean Curran as well. And, you know, I think if I was a Tipperary supporter now, I'd be really, really excited. I think they have a great balance, they have a great bench. You know, when you think that Bubbles has to come back, Callan has to come back, they have a great settled look about their team. Then you see Jason Ford shooting the lights out for UL and for Tipperary seniors as well. I think Mike Ryan is playing a blinder. You know, he knows now that he's going to have a real, real good time come the summer. Just like Cody. Cody's, you know, I know in Kilkenny that Richie Hogan has been back training. He's going well in training. I know the Jarrell word, but Cody knows what they can do when it comes to championship, but he wants to find the likes of McKeown, he wants to find the likes of Donnelly. You know, you're going to need a panel in this year's championship, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, those two managers, they're fairly cute and they know what they're doing for the year ahead.
Yeah, there's no doubt. When you head into your second league, you know you need a panel. Yeah. But the danger here is, like, I mean, like what Bug says there, Seamus Callanan's back and Bubbles back, and then we're just going to have back with Bubbles, Seamus Callanan, John McGrath the full forward line. Or can he mix it around?
Michael Ryan has a bit of a job in his hands, and he said it's a great job to have them players at your dispense, but it's going to be very interesting, Willie, where he plays them, because at the moment they're flying everywhere. And I don't know if Jason Ford will suit in the corner. You know, he's such a big man, and I don't know if Conor Ford will suit him. But like, to have them two men in the full forward line would be something else.
Yeah,
you know?
Callanan can play in the half forward line. Maybe that could be an option to go unpredictable. But what's this Michael Breen a corner forward? And I saw that team sheet. I was like, all right, he's going to come roaming, but he doesn't.
No,
he doesn't.
It's an unusual one for me. Like, I know he's a workhorse and he's a fitness machine. It's very unusual to see him in the corner. I thought the same as you, he'd come out and rove, but he's not. He's staying in. And look, it's working. He's not getting huge amount of scores, but obviously it's working for them. I don't know. I think that'll be a position to go, though. Once Bubbles comes back, I think Brian will be back out the pitch or be on the bench.
Yeah, no, exactly. And look, we know Ronan Maher is working well in midfield, and that half back line is broken up now, Bugs. I mean, Paddy Maher's in the centre, and we've two new fellas flanking him. And, like, I mean, that turned from being a strength for Tipperary into a weakness last year with Ronan Maher's lack of pace, and he was being dragged everywhere, and so was Paddy Maher. And Michael Ryan just seems to be. I'd say Michael Ryan learned an awful lot from last year.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And Ronan seems to be, you know, he seems to be really enjoying his time out midfield. And it's kind of like a new lease of life for him. It's like Paddy Maher, we've seen him for Thurles down through the years playing centre back and just dominating centre back, and he started the year just dominating from that position. I don't know, they still have a lot of questions just in relation to the two boys in the half back line. Like, are you going to go on the championship with them? You know, I suppose Tom Hamill has to come back in there as well. James Barry was back the other night and he played well, but you know, you've maybe put Hamill in wing back because Barry Heffernan, you know, he's still young, playing quite well for UL at the moment, but he was kind of showing up, you know, once or twice the other night. Is he good enough, you know, to throw in a championship? I don't know just yet. Maybe it's a year or two early, but there still is questions. You know what you're going to get from Paddy Maher, centre back, but two boys either side, you know, there still are a couple of questions there for Michael Ryan.
Yeah, no, exactly. But look, like we always say, we can't read too much into this league. But it's definitely seemed to be going down the right way of trying to unearth some new players. Right, listen, we'll leave it there, lads, and we'll be back in a second with performance of the weekend.
And the game takes on, can very, very often then take on a life of its own. What's tactics? I mean, you've got to make decisions and you've got to decide what you're going to do, and at the end of the day, you hand it over to the players and the players play, you know? The game was fast, was furious, it had everything really, you know, and you don't have too much influence on what's happening. What happened last year, it goes out the window, or the year before, or whenever it was. Tipperary, don't go away. The air is the air. And the game takes on, can very, very often then take on a life of its own.
All right, performance of the weekend, lads, and we'll fly through this. David Reedy, and when we talked about Clare, and we interviewed him on the podcast here a little while ago, and the reason I love David Reedy in this new position is because number one, he's lightning fast, but number two, he plays half forward like he wants to get a few scores. Like, I know he's played in the inside line, he's a scoring half forward, and like, they've gone out of Gaelic football, and I'd hate them to go out of hurling as well, because he waits, he lingers on that half forward line, he waits for a break or something to light on. And he's bloody gone. You just see his heels, and he's got the accuracy, and like, he's a free taker. He is the perfect half forward, Bugs. Like, I mean, how has a manager not identified this? Because we've seen him in the full forward line, and we've seen him at midfield, and it's like, that's not right. And then you join the two of them together in the middle, and it's almost perfect for this fella.
Yeah, like last year in the championship, he was playing, or in the league last year, he was playing in the middle of the park. But then when Colm Galvin came back, He was dropped, you know, and they never really tried him half forward. But this year, in fairness to the boys, they threw him in there, and he's having a blinder of year. But he's feeding off John Conlon, he's feeding off Peter Duggan, you know, breaking the ball to him, and you know, he has you know, that special gift, I suppose, which is pace.
Yeah,
you know, so as soon as he does get the ball into his hand, he's just gone, and no one can match him. Like, and Rito, he's always been the same, you know, since. He's actually a phenomenal soccer player. People don't realise that. So soccer was his first club when he was younger.
Right.
And I suppose he made the decision then a couple of years ago to go down the hurling route. But I suppose he's taken that pace that he had as a striker, and he's put into good effect now on the hurling field. But he's definitely one of Clare's star players, you know, since the start of the year, definitely.
And that's the thing, Mick, because you'll know from playing halfback, is that it's hard to mark a fella from breaks. So if he's good, you're going in... Both players, you can't mark your wing forward going in getting breaks. Like, it's not, you both kind of play your own game.
Absolutely.
But like, the minute he wins a break, he's gone. You've lost him. You almost nearly have to follow him in there.
Give me a John Connor any day.
And
like,
hold Reedy's jersey as he's actually going for the break.
Absolutely. Oh, he's so small in stature, but the pace of the man, like, he comes onto the break so fast, and geez, I'd be holding on to him for dear life. I know he'd be a nightmare to mark as a halfback.
Lads, trust me, there's no point holding on to him, because one thing Rito has as well, he's bowels. Hold on to his jersey, he's going to get you back.
Well, you like to hear that as well, you know.
He has that. Look at Owen Kelly, all the great forwards have that kind of bite in them, you know. And Rito won't allow a guy to bully him. A lot of backs think you're going to bully this guy, that guy. You're not going to bully David Reedy, because he will give it back to you. Trust me, I've tried it in club games, I've tried it, you know, in training the last couple of years. He's so hard to mark, I'll tell you that. But that's one thing I love about Reedy, is just that fight and that bite that he has that he brings to training and to every match he plays.
Yeah, no, listen, he's in a serious form. Martin Keogan, lads, am I pronouncing that right? He scored 5 from play against Waterford, which is no mean feat. And young Lahey and young Ling and these fellas are all new fellas. Like one of the points he got underneath the stand, he didn't even look. It was almost like, I don't know, was it a fluke? Because it didn't even look. I don't think he looked at the goals. He was just running and just walloped it. Like, I mean,
yeah, 19 years of age, Julian, off his right and off his left from distance, and that ground was looked tough yesterday in Walsh Park, and he was flying onto the ball. His handling was great and his score taking was brilliant. So he looks like a huge find for Cody. He'd be delighted because they were struggling in the half forward line to find someone. So I think he's a great find for them.
Yeah, and he looks to have a bit of kind of physicality about him. He's not the biggest fella, but he looks hardy bugs.
Yeah, and he looks to be kind of Cody type of forward, you know, a guy that is quick onto the break and is just he's a straight runner, you know. He goes down the heart of the fence. I was talking to the guy from Kikini there this morning now, and he was just telling me he's an unknown, you know. I don't even think he was on the Kikini under the one panel last year. Maybe I'm wrong, but his progression in the last year has been really, really good. But he just looks, you know, Cody type of forward, you know, as I said, quick onto the breaks and just great striker of the ball as well.
Yeah, I want to give Ross King a shout out from Leash, who's shooting the lights out. He's top scorer across all divisions. He was moved out around midfield last year. Looks like he's playing in the corner. This year he's on the frees. He's absolutely flying it. And in fairness to Leash now, it looks like we'll have two chances, because I was saying this with Cheddar last... Yeah, because Dublin play Galway. So Dublin are down. Yeah. Dublin play Leash in the last game of the league. Yeah. So Leash have a chance against Offaly to get the 4 points, and have a chance against Dublin to get the 4 points. Yeah. And it looks like Dublin will be on two going into the Leash match. So
yeah, absolutely. Well,
Leash have two chances potentially to get into a quarter final, which will be an unbelievable boost.
Yeah, absolutely. They're hurling really well, Willie, and they're racking up huge scorelines. So at the moment, it looks like Dublin are in trouble there. They were so flat the other day. It was awful to watch, you know. And Limerick was really impressive with Limerick as well. They hurled really well. You always know at Limerick you're going to get a battle, and they're so hard, like they're full of pride when they play, but the composure and the passes they were throwing around the place the other day was brilliant, but it was like an A&B match, so that was disappointing.
Yeah, look at it, it's very disappointing. Right, lads, Bonnermaar is also on my list for performance of the weekend. I want both of you, I'm sure both of you have come across Bonnermaar. Bugs, you can start off here. Explain to me what a nightmare it is to mark him.
I suppose firstly he's a left hander, so when you're going up for the high ball with him, you kind of have to be on his other shoulder, which, you know, I know in Clare we haven't many guys who are actually left-handers, so if you're going up for a high ball in training, you're going up on their, you know, on their other shoulder.
Right.
That's first. He's good in the air. He's just so direct. But Bonner has, you know, he's been out of form quite a bit, like, you know, last year, but obviously the other night, now that he's back, I don't think he's back, you know, maybe last year he was in Lebanon or someplace with Armini.
He was
lacking that little bit of match fitness, but he seems to be back performing well, and it's a big boost for Tip having him playing, I suppose, as good as he is at the moment. But Bonner was always very, very direct in his running, like, you know, and you knew that if he got the ball in his hand, he had only one thing in his mind. He was going straight down through the centre, but now he's brought the whole shooting aspect to his game as well, and he put a ball over the bar from whatever 55, 60 yards there the other night, and that wouldn't be really, you know, he wouldn't be seen to be that type of player that would be shooting from that distance. And likewise, I was even highlighting the Sunday game last night, the goal he took, you know, 9 times out of 10 he would have hand passed to Noel McGrath first, and Noel probably would have put it over the bar or went straight through, but he, you know, he took the ball on himself and he brought it in and stuck in the back of the net. So he's bringing that scoring element to his game as well.
That's interesting, Mick. Is the hand you catch the ball in a thing? Is it?
Absolutely. Gizzy Ling used to be like that for Wexford, you know, the other hand. So awkward to mark. Like, that's
really?
Yeah, absolutely. The Bonner, the two things, was awkward, so awkward in the air. I wouldn't be great in the air, but I would have been a stopper. So lads wouldn't catch the ball too often. But stopping him, like, the ball would break anywhere. Next week he comes out with it. He wouldn't run around the pitch too often, so you wouldn't mind that sense. But, and the other thing was, if there was a schmozzle around the place or a break, he'd just come out with it. Like, there could be 10 lads in there and you're waiting for a break, and next week Bonner's out with it. And he just had that knack. They were his biggest two assets. But as Bug said, his scoring during the day, he wouldn't score much when you're playing against him, but the scoring during the day was really impressive, so he seems to have added that to his play.
Sorry lads, now if this, because I've never played hurling, but this is very interesting to me. So Bugs, if you were marking a fella and he usually caught the ball with his right, would he ever try to throw you off your game by pushing you away with the right and holding you or catching it with his left just to surprise you with it, or is that not a thing?
I suppose if I was giving an example, right, from my own playing days, back in 2008, I was marking Patrick Cronin.
Yeah.
Patrick Cronin, who the left-hander. And I remember he absolutely destroyed me in there the same day because I was playing off the wrong shoulder. But then I hadn't got a chance to mark him until 2013. And I knew that in the Ireland final, if I was marking him, that I was going to go onto his other shoulder. And like Mick said, my job that day was basically I was a stopper, keep ball out of his hand, and the other boys then were going to, I was never going to catch a ball over his head because he's that good in there, but I had to change my own. He caught maybe about 4 or 5 balls over my head that time in 2008, but he didn't catch any over my head that time in that Ireland final, you know. It was just you had to think of who you're marking, how they're going to position their bodies and get to the right side.
Right, okay, that's interesting. So if you're right half back, your natural instinct might be to stand on the right hand.
Exactly, you're
right
outside him.
Yeah.
But you have to sort of go step inside.
You have to, okay.
It's a little cat and mouse in your playing, but you have to. Them lads are so awkward to mark, you know. You always have been.
Okay, Lee Chin, lads, who's just in phenomenal form, and he never stopped trying the whole game, was all over the place. Like, I mean, I know we talk about his athleticism, but he does look to be on a different level of fitness to the rest of the players on the field, but he got 4 from playing 10 in total. Like, I mean, he's having a serious league.
Yeah, you won't know, like, obviously we don't know if he was working, how he was playing. He was hurling really well anyway, but like, he's leaving lads for dead. Like, it's inter-county, these lads are the fastest lads in Tip and the most physical lads, and he's doing it to every team now. He's just making it look like he's gliding along and he's jogging and everyone else is lagging behind. He's hurling really well, but his decision making has improved hugely. Will he? I found with him, he tried to take too much out of the ball sometimes, but like, he ran through a few times on Saturday night and hand passed the ball off, and he was making good decisions with the ball, and there should have been more scores from him. But lads have a job in their hands to man mark him. Like, I wouldn't fancy it myself, you know.
Yeah, no, he's a sensational player. Fine. But right, performance of the weekend, I'm going to choose this, lads. I'm going to give it to Martin Keoghan because he scored 5 against Waterford. He's a young player, and I think that pint under the stand just gave it to him straight away. I want to see him doing it again before I'll start giving him credit for not just closing his eyes and launching it. But look, outstanding young player, and listen, I think we all want Kilkenny to start finding a few players, and we're not, you know, we need, I don't know, maybe we don't need Kilkenny. I don't know what your attitude is. Maybe you're both happy that they're gone. Maybe a year or two off Kilkenny,
yeah, exactly.
And maybe when these lads are getting a bit older, they can come back. Right, listen lads, that's always time for great stuff. We'll be back on Thursday with the preview show. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, 'cause I wanna see you later.